This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
New Mexico State down by one. Trying to pull the upset.
Ideally, if you can get it inside to somebody, that's the best thing, if you can.
Oh, he's open.
Queen, corner three at the buzzer. Hand ball, and Auburn hangs on.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Marshall.
Short. For the win. Off the mark. The Terps survive. Windler missed it at the buzzer. Maryland gets the win against upstart Belmont.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Grant on Bailey, shot fake, floats it, and one more with an icing on the cake with a little finger roll from John. And he has earned this ovation in Hartford, Connecticut.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right. It is 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on this Fast Break Friday here. Portland sports leader 1080 The Fan, Brandon Sprague, 880 Johnson, in with you, back out at the beautiful, the wonderful Independent Sports Bar and Grill off Southwest Broadway.
This is the definition of a Fast Break Friday, man. We got 1 hour. We got to turn and burn. We got to stay focused over the next 60 minutes.
I don't know about you. I was staying up all night thinking about, man, how can we make this show amazing?
How are we going to do 1 hour of radio today? This is going to be brutal. It's going to be a long day, but we'll somehow get through it.
It's not going to be easy, and I think we're already off to a bad start because I didn't get home till midnight yesterday.
That's a good way to start your weekend, huh? A little Thursday night party, opening night of the tournament.
I was out here at the Independent till about 6.
Okay.
And then I went bar hopping, and then I didn't get to my house till midnight. And my wife said, what did you do today?
What
and I said,
are you doing?
I don't know. A lot of questionable decisions were made.
Look, it is March Madness time, and I've had opening days like that before, whether it be here or like in Vegas for the Thursday of March Madness. It's a great way to kick it off.
Yeah.
Because you're bouncing around from bar to bar and there's games on everywhere you're going. Now, the Independent's the best because you got a lot of TVs, but that's the beauty of staying out late on the Thursday night is you got something on TV all night to keep you distracted.
Absolutely. So come hang out with us today. March Madness rolls on yet again as we've got an interesting lady walking in asking people for a dollar.
She's been escorted out of
the
building.
Yeah, she has just been asked to leave.
She's having too much fun on the Friday of March Madness.
I wonder what kind of party she was just having.
I think she was partying with you last night.
She might have been. She might have been stumbling. Hey, where is that man that I talked to yesterday? We got a good show. As Dirt mentioned, it is only 1 hour. We got the Duck pregame show at 1 o'clock, and then the game, of course, will tip at around 1:30 in San Jose.
You got all three Pac-12 teams in action today.
You do.
It's a big day for the conference.
I'm looking forward to it. You know, the conference could easily lose all three.
Yes, they could.
They could also win all three,
yes,
and I won't know what to think about the Pac-12. But yesterday the tournament was, I don't know. I'll give my opinion. You give yours here.
Okay, day one. What do we got?
I thought day one sucked.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I thought it sucked. I thought there were only two great games.
Right.
A couple okay games, and for the most part, a lot of forgettable games.
The funny part is when you get deep enough in the tournament, you want the best teams available, right? Like, part of me doesn't really enjoy seeing, like, a 13 seed in the Final Four.
Right.
Because you know they're not one of the best four teams in the country.
Yes.
I always had that beef with Butler when they made it back-to-back years. Like, nobody wants to see Butler play in the national championship game. But what we love about the Thursday and Friday of the tournament is upsets. And yesterday, I mean, you had Murray State with a blowout. So that was a sizable one. And you had John Morant go for a triple-double, first one since Draymond Green. That, to me, was really the only highlight. Other than that, you had Tom Izzo yelling at a player, and everybody had to talk about that today. Was that okay? Was it not okay? But we potentially could have a couple this afternoon. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think we all want craziness. We want big upsets on the first 2 days. Didn't necessarily have that yesterday.
Did you see
you may or may not have seen this. I guess Jay Billis was on ESPN this morning, and when I turned it on, he called Ja Morant Russell Westbrook. And I just thought, look, Russell Westbrook has his own baggage, but he's a great player, right? We can all agree to that.
Yeah.
Zion is going to be amazing. Would you consider drafting Ja Morant if you think he's going to be Russell Westbrook?
I mean, you have to. Everybody says he's going to be a top three pick.
Well, he will be, but I wonder at all, and this is probably not going to go into the thinking at all for whoever has the number one pick, but do you consider Ja Morant over a Zion?
No. No.
Okay.
No, but maybe number two.
All right.
I'll grant you the number two pick in the draft, but I don't
know. You take him over R.J. Barrett?
Yeah, I think about that, yeah. Or Cam Reddish is another name up there. He hasn't been too impressive.
I think Cam Reddish needs a couple more years of seasoning. He's still pretty young to me. You watch him play, and he has good moments, and he also has moments where he didn't really do anything.
Yeah.
So he's kind of a guy that I think is for sure going in the top six of the draft. It's just how many years does it take for him to get it going in the NBA?
Well, this year he averaged, just for the people who didn't follow closely enough, 24.5 points per game.
Reddish?
Morant.
Yeah.
24.5, 10 assists, and 5 rebounds.
Well, and he's also, look, Zion is on a level almost entirely by himself because we just haven't had many athletes like him ever. Ja Morant is pretty damn close to being on that level athletically. I mean, that kid...
He's a freak.
You see that dime with his left hand?
Yeah, he's not. I mean, Zion is just big and intimidating.
Right.
Morant is not. That's, I think, where the Westbrook comparison comes in. Because Westbrook's a well-built guy, but he's just a freak athletically.
Yes.
And you can see it. And there's always the fear if he loses a step like that, what does his career turn into? Like, if you're not quite the same athlete you used to be, a la maybe an Amari Stoudemire, if you will, you know, a guy that lost that explosiveness and then took a step back. But he's a freak athletically. He's just not as big as Zion.
Well, I just wonder, too, on the Zion front. Again, I'm conceding that Zion's going to be the number one pick here. But when you think about Ja Morant, who emerged in, I think, a lot of people's eyes yesterday, because how many people watched Murray State? I think I saw a game and a half of Ja Morant this year before yesterday's game. But the thing on Ja Morant is the NBA is geared towards him, whereas we don't know what Zion's going to be exactly.
Yeah, we've had people poke holes in it when we brought him up before about what kind of NBA player will he be, considering he can't really shoot.
He can't shoot, and that's the interesting part is, you still want him because maybe he's LeBron and his body is just so big and people can't handle, like, what he does on a night-in, night-out basis. But if you can't shoot, I mean, that's kind of what the NBA is about right now. And if you have a guy that can shoot and get you triple-doubles or flirt with that kind of stat line, you know, there's something to think about.
I think the LeBron comparison is interesting because he wasn't a great shooter when he came into the league either. And that's the thing you have to remember with these guys.
I would argue he still really isn't.
No, but eventually it came, and then he became unguardable because he could get by you. He was bigger than you, and then occasionally he would knock down dagger threes. I never want to say a guy's never going to develop it. You know what I mean? Like, he's 19 years old. Like, at some point, I trust Zion Williamson to turn into a legitimate scorer from all over the floor, and he knocks down threes occasionally. An example, too, and I know he's not a point guard, but an example, too, is Ben Simmons. And Ben Simmons is having a pretty solid start to his NBA career, and he can't shoot to save his life.
I think he shot 3 3-pointers on the year.
He's a point guard, and teams defend him 10, 15 feet away from him.
He's still productive. Isn't that the most amazing part of Ben Simmons, which is when people like, Ben Simmons, he's overrated. He still produces with those numbers.
Right. He's still putting up like 20 and 10 a game.
He can't shoot.
Yeah. And that's where, like with Zion, like you're gonna back off him, but I trust his athletic ability and his strength. I know it's the NBA, so it's a different level of athlete, but I still trust him to get around guys and score at a high level.
Speaking of trust, before we go to what's on tap, who ever trusts Cincinnati to win a NCAA tournament game?
I took Cincinnati, and I feel like an idiot.
I might have, too, and I think in the process of doing it, I knew and was well aware that Cincinnati never wins their first-round game, ever.
Has Cincinnati ever won a tournament game?
I think when Kenyon Martin was there.
They probably lost in the first round that year, too. I'm not buying it. I think they're over in their history.
I like Cincinnati, too. They got a cool logo. It's a cool little story. But they just never win a damn game in the tournament.
Come on, Cincinnati.
All right, look, we got a great show. It's only 1 hour, but we got a lot to get to. Let's find out what's on tap.
Dirt and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events. You say, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080 The Fan.
Mike, 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 Mike,
What's on tap brought to you in the fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Find them online at pelicanbrewing.com. We got our good friend Ryan in here from Pelican hanging out with us today, getting some work done, getting ready to watch some college basketball.
Yeah, he's a Duck fan. He's getting ready for the big Oregon game to start here in about an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, he was surprised. We're like, yeah, we only have an hour show. He's like, oh, that's right. Yes, we're in and we're out. We got a good one. Evan Flood is his name, and he's going to join us at 12:30. For a kind of tickerish segment. It's an interview with him. He writes for Badgers 24/7 website. So he'll give us a lowdown on Wisconsin. So he'll join us at 12:30. We will break the line with some of the games today, including the Duck game. We'll get to some more tournament action and Oregon, Wisconsin. That's what's on tap because it's only 1 hour today.
Are we not going to get to Cam Newton's theory?
Can
this be discussed
hold
today,
on.
Please?
No,
can
hold
we
on.
Please bring this up?
I'm actually going to go. I'm going to pull an Andy Dirt Johnson.
Are you going to try and save this for next
You're
week?
You're going
I'm out?
On vacation
Come
next
on,
week.
Come on, man.
I want that story on Monday.
Dude, the guy's pulling a Costanza.
I know.
He's saying not having sex is going to make him smarter. He's abstaining for a month.
I know. We need. I'll talk about this while you're gone, okay? I'll hold the fort down for you. I was worried about you coming in of how many things were you going to talk about within the hour.
Yeah, how many things can I squeeze in today?
That I couldn't hold over for next week.
All right, well, if I can't talk about it today, at least go vote on the poll question at Dirt and Sprague. Does not having sex make you smarter?
There you go. That's what's on tap today, and it's brought to you on the fan by Pelican Brewing Company. Busy show. Again, we're live out here at the Independent Sports Bar and Grill, 2525 Southwest Broadway. Come on out, get a seat, watch some games, have a good time. Thank you to our good friends at Laurelwood Brewing for stepping up today. They've got merch to give away, Nike Hoop Summit, Encore Video. It's going to be a good party again, yet again. So here we go. Let's start. Oregon, Wisconsin, final predictions. Give us your thoughts. 55305. We'll dive into this matchup a little bit. Next on 1080 The Fan. Yeah, I forgot to shout out our good friends at Warren Allen. Thank you to them as well. They're always great working with us here at The Fan. We're live at The Independent. Something I quite enjoy is the time old tale of Virginia sucking as a one seed. They are currently losing to Gardner-Webb, albeit 5 minutes in.
Sure, it's 6-4, but...
But they're losing 6-4 to Gardner-Webb.
Oh, another turnover. Let's go.
When does this get in their head?
Like, at some point it has to.
Like, right, if it gets to, like, 10-4 or 12-4, don't they start to just go, what is going on here?
Now, I don't know if anybody agrees with me on this, but if Virginia, look, it's not going to happen. But if it does, if they somehow lose back-to-back years as a 16 seed or as a one seed against a 16 seed.
Yeah.
I think that they should be banished from the tournament for 5 years.
5 years is a bit strong.
5 year postseason ban. If you go back to back years as a one seed and you fall.
I'll give you one. They should be banned for one season. They should be banned from being a one seed for 10 years. Is that fair?
I think it has to be more extreme than that. Make it like you can't be a top four seed for the next 10 years. You got to work your way in as like a nine.
Yeah, I just, I'm rooting so hard for Gardner-Webb just out of hilarity. Okay, Oregon, Wisconsin today, 1:30. Catch it here on The Fan after us. Pregame show 1 to 1:30. I was reading an article on The Athletic about Wisconsin last night. And basically it boils down to this. Wisconsin does not want to score more than 60 points. They want to make this game ugly. They want to slow it down. And if they can hit their three-pointers and keep this below 70, many people on the Wisconsin side think that's going to be the recipe for them to win this game. Whereas Oregon, who has struggled offensively but played real good defense, might benefit more if they can get up and down and kind of push it to that kind of tempo.
Push the tempo a little bit. Yeah, the over-under, and we'll have a brief segment of spreading the line later in the show. The over-under, I believe, on this game is 117.
Yeah.
So that tells you all you need to know about what Vegas is thinking. Wisconsin, I think, now is a slight favorite in this one. So some of the money's gone in the opposite direction. I think it always, when you get to this time, you never know what kind of team's going to show up because we haven't seen them play in a week. And I think it comes down to, really for me, Pritchard and Ethan Happ. I mean, those are the two headliners for each team. Pritchard's the leader. He's been there before. Happ can be a nightmare to defend just in reading up on Wisconsin a little bit, a bigger guy that can shoot the ball over 53% from the floor this year, averages about 18 points per game. that you really got to rely on your studs, and you need those guys to step up. You think back to past Oregon tournament runs, whether it was guys like Freddie Jones and Ridenhour and Jackson having big performances, Aaron Brooks getting hot, Tawan Porter getting hot and lighting teams up. It comes down to star play, in my opinion, and I think if Pritchard has a good game, Oregon's got a great chance at winning this one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward just to seeing how Wisconsin comes out, and are they one of those teams that comes out kind of quick and just shows you that, hey, this is not what you thought it was? Because, you know, you mentioned the betting and how it shifts a little bit, but it still feels like you've got a lot of people that are like, okay, Oregon's going to advance in this one, and whether that's Kansas State or the UC Irvine Anteaters, people feel good about the Ducks' chances today. And you just wonder, does Wisconsin come out as a team with the cliche, but I know you like it, experience,
yeah,
and go, all right, nobody thinks we're going to do this.
Yeah.
By the way, the crowd looked crappy in a picture I saw, but again, this might be too early to gauge. Does Wisconsin just come out and surprise everybody, including the Oregon Ducks?
Well, I think to this point, too, it's funny how we don't necessarily do it as much as we do in bowl season, but I believe as of now, the Big Ten's undefeated.
Oh, okay.
I didn't think about that. Over Cincinnati. I think that was the latest one. Michigan State won. I believe there was somebody else yesterday, and then Iowa winning today. So if my research is correct, I think the Big Ten hasn't lost a game. So we don't really ever talk about that in terms of strength of conference. Like
some
we do.
People think it might be the best conference in
college
basketball.
Right. We do it all the time in bowl season. Well, this conference was 6-1, and they won these big games. Therefore, they must be the best conference in the country. So that should scare you a little bit as a Pac-12 fan. But we'll see if Oregon can buck that trend today.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to this matchup with Oregon-Wisconsin. You know who else is looking forward to it? Is Mike Francesa, our good friend on WFAN, FAN in New York.
Has he got hot takes on the Ducks?
Oh, Mike Francesa has hot takes on everything in life, even if he knows nothing of what he is talking about. He'd still give you a hot take. I wouldn't say this is necessarily falling into that category, but we quite enjoyed this one. A caller dials him up and drops the Oregon Ducks to get his thoughts on this player.
No, I was just looking at the brackets, looking at some upsets. And, you know, I kind of like the Ducks. I think they have a pretty
No, they have a good team. They can win that game for sure, absolutely.
Yeah. What do you think about Dean Portman in the paint? He's a little bit of a bruiser.
Listen, Oregon is a team that is very good defensively. They are a team that had a weird year that everyone knows is always very well coached. Is always very good defensively. They've held a lot of teams down defensively this year. They're going to beat you with defense. I don't like this Wisconsin team. The other thing I don't like about this Wisconsin team is it does not hit its free throws. And I'm telling you, that's not something you expect from a Wisconsin team either. Wisconsin's terrible on the foul line this year. Absolutely terrible.
Okay, now,
I'm a big Dean Portman fan.
Dean Portman, I have his jersey,
he's
actually.
He's a stud, yeah. He's going to have to play well today.
He's right up there with Daniel Dean for me, with the former Beaver.
Is that Natalie's younger brother?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Of Portman fame.
Now, we know the spring line jinx is real.
Yes.
Are you concerned now that Francesa is
yes,
like...
Yes, I am. Okay. I'm terrified. I am. I was feeling relatively confident, and now I'm terrified that Mike Francesa likes Oregon's chances to win today.
Oregon plays good defense. You know that Oregon plays good defense. They all play good defense.
I will say this about the game today. I am thankful that at least my alma mater is involved in it, because if I did not have a rooting interest in that game, I might want to burn my eyeballs.
Oh.
I have a feeling this
like
is...
Like if you weren't a Duck fan, but it was still Oregon?
Well, like, if I just wasn't a Duck fan, and that was one of the tournament games on TV,
gotcha,
and I'm watching, like, I just have a terrible feeling that game is going to be
ugly.
Extremely boring to watch. Oregon's going to go slow. Wisconsin's going to go slow. You're going to have periods where it's just extremely difficult and not a lot of offensive firepower on either side.
Right.
That I do like the under bet. I know 117 is a pretty low number, but I do like hitting the under of that.
I'll take the over. I think Oregon's going to win this game. I picked it in my bracket. I think they're going to push this up to about, I'll say 71 to whatever the other number has to be to hit the over.
Whatever it is. 71 to 50-something.
I don't feel like doing that math. I'm watching a game as I'm talking right now. I do want to give him proper credit, though, real quick.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to respect Francesa more. He said Oregon right.
He did, yeah. I'll
he didn't say Oregon.
Yeah.
You know, he was like Oregon. It was smooth, baby.
I give him credit on that.
I didn't think he'd do it. Most East Coasters don't.
Well, this is, I mean, look, it'll be a fun day for Oregon fans, and we got a lot of them down here getting ready to watch the game coming up in about an hour. It's a big day for the Pac-12, though. I think Arizona State is going against Buffalo, and Buffalo is one of those trendy picks this year. I know I have them winning a bunch of games just because of their overall record. They're kind of a sexy program right now.
Are you talking about Buffalo?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm talking Pac-12 in general now here, okay?
I know nothing of Buffalo. I'm not going to
I just
act
know
like
they were 31-3, so I picked them to win. That looked like a good record.
It was a flip of the coin for me against ASU. I just picked them to win.
I think the Pac-12 legitimately has a chance to win all of these games. But if they don't, let's say Oregon loses to Wisconsin, ugly game. Washington goes down to Utah State, and they play the way they did against Oregon in the Pac-12 tournament. And ASU gets, you know, ran out by Hurley's former team in Buffalo. That's going to be a tough blow for the conference. But I do think if you're able to get three teams into the round of 32 and all of them have legitimate chances to win this year or to win today, that would be a big boost with a puncher's chance of getting to the Sweet 16. Pac-12 desperately needs that this year.
All right, so Oregon-Wisconsin coming up in an hour from now. Just a live look-in, and we are probably going to do this till the end of the show at 1 o'clock. Gardner Webb up 11-6.
Wisconsin has scored 6 points in about 8 minutes.
Swag was like, well, that's what Virginia does. It's Gardner freaking Webb, man. It's
does anybody know where Gardner Webb is?
Maryland?
Exactly.
All right, coming up next, Evan Flood is a Badger beat writer for Badgers 24/7. He is going to join us to give us his thoughts and the lowdown on Wisconsin. We'll talk Evan Flood next. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you on this Fast Break Friday. Our show will be done in a half hour. Live at the Independent Sports Bar and Grill. And I don't know, man. I got to be honest. I don't know if I enjoy anything more than watching Virginia lose to a 16 seed. And they are down 20-12 with 10 minutes to go in the first half.
Look, it's early, but we are going to track this the rest of the afternoon.
We are not going to stop talking
Everybody
about this.
Everybody is a Gardner Webb fan right now.
They have to be. We're awaiting Evan Flood from the Wisconsin 24/7 website. Covers the Badgers basketball team. Does a great job. And we'll get the lowdown on the Badgers there in a minute. And you know what I'm enjoying about it? Because I know this is not the greatest of radio, but I can make this real simple. Gardner Webb's getting any shot they want.
They are.
And that was what UMBC was doing so well last year, aside from hitting their threes. They were able to also move and get good looks, and Gardner Webb's doing the exact same thing. So they are up right now. Swag, what did you just say in my ear?
He's ready to go.
We have him? Okay. Yep. So Evan Flood, he's on Twitter, at Evan_Flood. Give him a follow. He covers Wisconsin. He's an insider for 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports as well. And he joins us now on the Guild Hotline. Evan, thanks for taking a couple minutes, man. I know the game is in about an hour. Out here in Oregon, all we can do is read a few stories here or there and look at a couple stats. What are we missing about Wisconsin? Because a lot of people out here feel real confident in Oregon's chances to win this game. What don't we know about Wisconsin, in your opinion?
Yeah, you know, I think it's kind of that typical Wisconsin team where, you know, they're not going to wow anybody when you watch them play a methodical style of ball. You know, the game's probably going to be close. But, you know, I think when you're maybe a Pac-12 opponent especially, it's difficult to kind of hang with the Badgers, who are going to bring their hard hat, lunch pail type attitude to the game, slow you down a lot, make you play 25, 30 seconds of defense, and make you work for your shots as well. So there's nothing really flashy about this Wisconsin team, but it's a brand of basketball that's been very effective over the past 20 years for them. You know, they come into this game having won 10 of their last 11 opening round matchups in the NCAA tournament. So this is a program that's not exactly used to getting knocked out early as well. But, you know, I will say I think, you know, in terms of the first two potential matchups for Wisconsin, this is going to be the hardest one for the Badgers. I think Oregon matches up with them really well. And I think Wisconsin fits in a lot of ways, particularly with their length.
What do we know about Ethan Happ? I mean, that's the guy that we've heard a lot about coming in. He's a talented player, 17 points, 10 boards. What makes him special, and how can he hear at Oregon today?
Well, he's very unique. He's a big man and kind of a dying breed of big man in college basketball. He's a guy that's going to touch the ball practically every possession for Wisconsin. And, you know, even though he's a true post, he's kind of like their point guard. They run their offense through him down on the block and allow him to be the team's primary decision maker. I think he's the only player still in college basketball who leads their team in points, rebounding, assists, steals, and blocks. He does everything for the Badgers, and it's a really hard matchup for people that haven't seen him before, because his footwork on the block is so outstanding. If you allow him to operate one-on-one, he can almost always find a way to get a clean look at the rim, and he's improved so much as a passer that he has a great feel for those double teams coming his way, and that's why he averages 5 assists per game, too. You know, Wisconsin's going to go 4 out, 1 in, and allow defenses to kind of have to pick their poison with Pat being the primary decision-maker.
Yeah, Evan Flood, our guest, covering Wisconsin for Badgers 24/7. He's joining us, getting us ready for Oregon, Wisconsin at 1:30. You can catch that game here on The Fan. What is the number? Because, you know, if you read everybody's pieces on this matchup and just kind of gut feel from some pundits, if Oregon can get past the 70 threshold, there's a good chance they win. Do you have a number in your mind that if Wisconsin can't hold Oregon to X number or under, that's not gonna do well for Wisconsin's chances to win the game?
Yeah, I would say 70 would be about right. You know, this is a Wisconsin team that's, I believe, coming in has held 7 of their last 14 opponents to their season-low scoring totals. There's not going to be a ton of possessions. And Oregon's such a good defensive team as well. I don't know if 70 is realistic in this game. But, you know, I would say, you know, generally with most opponents, a game in the upper 50s, lower, the mid-60s usually favors the Badgers. They've been so good defensively during the second half of the season here, which kind of sparked a little bit of a turnaround for them after a slow start in Big Ten play. I believe, according to KenPom, right now they're the fourth most efficient defense in the country. So, yeah, I think 70 points would be great. You know, I'd feel really great if I were Oregon and I was able to hit 70. I'd feel really great if I was able to get to 66 or above, but I don't know if there's going to be enough possessions between these two teams in order for that to happen. As I think, you know, Oregon, you know, during their recent hot streak here has been among the nation's best defensively as well, and I believe comes in as the nation's 13th most efficient defense, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Evan Flood, our guest, Badgers insider for 24/7 Sports. We'll get you out of here on this one, Evan, because we appreciate you taking a few minutes today. I know it's a busy day for you. I mentioned Oregon fans are confident. That's kind of just in their nature, I think, once they rose in football and they've had a Final Four team. There's confidence there in the fan base. And now the way they've been playing, they've won 8 straight, including the Pac-12 title. They're playing so locked in defensively. Let's go to the other side, though. If you were to try to gauge percentage-wise confidence from the Badger fans, where do you think it is with this year's team to win this 12-5 matchup?
I would probably say about 60-40, maybe as low as 50-50. I know the length of Oregon is really bothering a lot of people. I mean, you have to look at Wisconsin and their makeup. You know, they probably expect Ethan Happ is going to have a good game. Oregon's young up front, but it's the other players around Happ that haven't stepped up during the latter part of the season here and have struggled. And look, Wisconsin's not necessarily a team of guards that can create their own shots and get stuff going to the rim. They're going to have to be shooting over these long Oregon defenders, and that's generally not what you want to do. You want to have guards who can create off the dribble, get to the rim, make Oregon pay for going big. I don't know if Wisconsin has the right personnel to really force Oregon to go small and bring some of those guards off the bench. So I would expect Happ, I think a lot of people expect Happ to have a good game against a team that hasn't seen him before. He's averaging close to 20 points a game in non-conference play. I think, you know, he probably plays well, but, you know, Wisconsin fans, I think, are a little weary of, you know, depending on Demetri Trice and Brad Davison, who have been really off in the last 6 games, to try and create against a lot of length and athleticism for Oregon.
Evan Flood, Badgers insider for 24/7 Sports, with the lowdown on who Wisconsin really is. Evan, thanks so much for the time, man. We appreciate it. We'll have to get you back on maybe during football season at some point and talk Badger football.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, there we go. Great stuff from Evan Flood. You know, I wasn't expecting different, but wait for him to confirm exactly our fears. This game's probably going to be boring and ugly. You know, if they could finish 30-28, I think they got a good shot of winning.
Somebody texted that. I love his analysis of Wisconsin as a polite way to say they're a bunch of white, unathletic guys. You know,
isn't that what they always
bring? Bring their lunch pail. They're going to slow the game down and play defense. This is why I said earlier, if I didn't go to Oregon and I didn't have a rooting interest in this game, man, this might be one of the worst watches of the opening 2 days of the tournament. It could really be that ugly. You're liking the over. I think if the over is going to hit in my mind, one team has to blow the other one out. Like Wisconsin gets hot and they're knocking down all their stuff and Oregon can't hang. Or vice versa, Oregon's knocking down all their threes early and they get out to a big lead and that momentum carries them on. If this game goes the way both teams want it to go, this is going to be a hideous basketball game.
All right, we got a little bit of spraying the line. We'll walk off with some picks. This is a weird show.
One hour show is really weird, man.
Remember the hard count days?
Yeah, I know, seriously.
Virginia's in trouble, man.
Virginia's down 12.
They are down 12. They just turned the ball over again.
Oh, my God.
If there's anybody out there that trusted Virginia, looking at you and Swigard,
how far did you have
them? You should
be
ashamed of yourself.
Come on, how far did you have
them? I have them losing in the Sweet 16.
I had them one game further.
Still. Virginia is losing again.
Let me just tell you this.
This could happen, folks.
I could have had them in the title game, and I would be rooting against them right now, okay? That lets you know how much I'm enjoying what Virginia's doing to themselves.
Postseason ban.
It's going to be a lot of speculation and hot takes on Virginia and Tony Bennett. And I know he's going to get defensive, and Virginia people are going to be, whoa, how many games we've been winning. That's all true. All of the criticism's going to be fair if you lose back-to-back years to a 16 seed.
Absolutely.
And I'm with you on Twitter. Ban them. Get them out of here.
Get them out of here.
Okay, we'll kind of wrap things up in our one-hour show here live at the Independent. We got some Sprague in the line, so you can text some sponsors in as quickly as possible. We're back with more wrapping it up here on a Fast Break Friday on All right, welcome back in. Fist pump your way into the weekend, a one-hour show for us. Thank you to Oregon for getting into the tournament and making this possible.
This is weird.
It is weird, though, yeah. Like, as excited as we may sound to be done by one, which is everybody's dream to work 1 hour a day, it's weird doing a radio show in only 1 hour's time that isn't pre- or post-game.
I don't find my groove on this show until hour number two.
Yeah.
You know?
It takes a little while to get going,
I'm an hour two PTP-er.
I'm with you. Virginia down 10 to Gardner-Webb. 4 minutes to go in the first half. I'm sure they're probably going to come back and win this game, but until they do, I'm going to rather enjoy this.
Well, we're about to spray the line. If you go on and you want to live bet games right now, there are places you can go find Gardner-Webb currently as an 8-point underdog. So you consider they're already up by 10. You could get them essentially with an 18-point lead right now.
There we go. Hello.
That's a solid bet right there.
All right, speaking of betting, it is time. Spray the line.
I can't hear it.
Hopefully
I'm on tune. Hold on.
Sprague in the line.
Hey, Sprague in the line brought to you by Cam Newton. Maybe if Sprague abstained from sex, his picks would be better.
I like it.
Sprague in the line brought to you by Will Ferrell, about as much of a professional comedian as Sprague is a professional gambler.
Oh, wow.
Sprague in the line brought to you by Sprague's Oven. Just like Sprague's gambling prowess, it takes the weekend off, too.
By the way, I unplugged it and restarted it twice.
Still the Sabbath?
Still on the Sabbath. What the hell do I do?
Sprague in the line brought to you by Sprague's Oven. Hey, it's smart enough to know when the Sabbath is. What's it stealing on Oregon versus Wisconsin? Sprague in the line brought to you by Fanny Packs. If you know about Fanny Packs, you're cool. If you know about Sprague in the line, you're broke.
Can I give a shout-out real quick?
Sure.
P1 Cowboy Greg stopped by yesterday and said hello. He brought me a fanny pack.
He did.
What do you call that? What is Indiana Jones wear?
A satchel. He brought you a satchel.
It's a satchel fanny pack. It's amazing. Thank you, Cowboy Greg, for that. It's kick ass.
What else we got here? Spring and Lime brought to you by Tony Bennett, the one that'll still have a job after today.
I always confuse him with the singer.
Well, they have the same name.
I know.
But they're pretty easy to tell apart.
Well, in age, absolutely.
Sure.
Okay, we got a couple games. Obviously, we got the Pac-12 games to get to. Let's start with Washington and Utah State. Husky fans might be nervous, or maybe they're confident as well. Right now on Vegas Insider, it is Washington +3.5.
I'll take the Huskies to cover.
Okay.
Lose a close game.
I am going to also take the Huskies to cover. I think they're going to win this. I know Utah State is getting a lot of love from people. I think Washington's had a few days to really let everything sink in of what's been going on. Mike Hopkins is a good basketball coach. I'm just going to trust defensively they lock in.
and their size will overwhelm and they'll beat Utah State. The second game, which I always love this, that we just call them Buffalo, and we forget that they're Sunny Buffalo, S-U-N-Y, because it's the New York college system.
Okay.
Arizona State and Buffalo, right now that line is set at Buffalo -5.5.
I'm going to take ASU in that one.
All right. Okay.
I'm going Pac-12 homer today, just like I did in the bowl games.
Okay, I am actually also going to take 5.5, but I don't know if ASU wins the game, but I'll take them +5.5. I think Bobby Hurley's going to have them ready to go. And, you know, for all the talk about Oregon fan and confidence and the betting, right now on Vegas Insider, the consensus says Wisconsin, Oregon, +2 underdog.
Yeah, give me the Ducks. I'll take them on the money line.
Dog
Johnson rolling. Pac-12
Johnson.
We need
more dogs.
Rolling. Let's do this.
We don't need more dogs.
Don't let me down today, Pac-12. You are the conference of champions. Listen to Bill Walton. Let's go get the job done, okay?
Okay, I will also, by the way, take Oregon +2 because I have them winning that ball game. A couple other lines to get to. By the way, CBS has announced they are going to do Zion Cam. They have hired a cameraman specifically to just follow and look at Zion Williamson the entire game. Bench, court, and as somebody astutely pointed out on Twitter, yeah, these kids still can't get paid for their likeness. But we're going to use Zion Cam here.
Zion Cam.
Duke, if you're interested in maybe an upset, which won't happen, Duke is a 26.5-point favorite.
Look, I thought Fairleigh Dickinson could cover against Gonzaga yesterday, and I think they were down by 50 at halftime. Look,
they were.
Our Knights got a nice little win in the tournament, and then they had a rude awakening against the number one seed yesterday.
You know, other than those Pac-12 games, though, Ohio State, Iowa State, Iowa State's a 5.5-point favorite.
Not touching that.
Yeah, I don't know enough about either team. I saw Iowa State in the Big 12 title game and win and beat Kansas, but is Ohio State good? I don't know.
Sometimes I like to jump on those big lines of the 215s and the 116s just because at some point I feel like the team has to call off the dogs, and then you see a game. I think Tennessee is just all over whoever the hell they're playing right now. That I think it's Colgate.
It's Colgate.
Yeah, I mean, they were housing them earlier when that game was on, so – sometimes you got to be careful with that. That's usually an angle I like to go with, but it hasn't, other than Virginia struggling right now, that's the only one that's, they're the only top two seed that struggled at least so far.
All right, dude. Well, we're just about wrapping it up here. Thank you to everybody for coming down both days. Thank you to Warren Allen, Nike Hoop Summit, Encore Video, and, of course, Laurelwood Brew Pub and the fine folks out here at the Independent. You're going to Mexico next week.
I am.
So it'll be just the Sprague and Sprague show with fill-in guest hosts.
It's going to be a Spraggy Swag edition all week.
What are you most looking forward to on your vacation?
Doing absolutely nothing, drinking a lot of alcohol, and laying on a beach.
Okay.
I can't wait, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. You guys will have a good week. There's a lot going on with the tournament. Blazer playoff chase heating up.
Don't do this.
You got opening day on Thursday in Major League Baseball.
I'm looking forward to that.
See?
We've already booked Tyson Alger for 12:30 to 1:15 on Tuesday to talk all things Oregon spring ball.
There you go.
Talk about the Pac-12 and his hockey career.
He's a good beer league hockey player.
He is a beer league hockey player, yes.
There'll be enough going on next week. You guys will be all right.
Well, I'm not worried.
I'll send you some shirtless pictures from Mexico.
Okay.
Let the nipple fly.
Good to know. All right, we got the Oregon game coming up next. I think I missed the cue, so I'm going to be off by a couple seconds here, Swigart. I can only hear so well in these headphones.
He'll count you down.
Thank you to everybody for tuning in this week. We appreciate it. We had another great month in the ratings. Couldn't do it without you guys. I hope every one of your picks wins. I hope your teams win. Go Beavs, as always. We'll figure it out at some point. Everybody be safe. Enjoy the weekend. We'll be back on Monday. We got a loaded show on Monday.
This is a killer outro.
No dirt.
You were knocking this outro out of the ballpark.
I can't just have a long goodbye. God, you make everything so awkward. What's your problem? All right, we'll be back on Monday. Thanks again. Come on out to the Independent. Dirt and Sprague, happy Friday. We'll see you on Monday on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.